Just before she does.
Yes, just before she does. My name's Aaron Kogel. I'm the Executive Director of the National Association of People with HIV Australia. Today, we're officially launching our latest report containing, hot off the press, the latest estimates of Medicare ineligible people with HIV in Australia. It's a report that's literally been years in the making, and because of that, I just want to thank a few people. I want to thank everyone who contributed to the report, in particular the pharmaceutical companies who were so brave and transparent in sharing their data with us, the Commonwealth Government Bloodborne Viruses and STIs subcommittee who also contributed data, and of course, I wanted to thank my co-author, Kathy, who did an amazing job of pulling together disparate data across different time frames, across different from different organisations and places, and actually making meaning out of it. So get your hard copy, they're on the table outside. If you haven't got that, you can go to the NAPWHA Facebook page and there's a link there which will allow you to download the PDF. So officially launched.
Thank you, and thank you, Aaron. So your first exposure to the report is my presentation today. So I'll go through the key data from that report. For the background, I think everyone in the room understands that treatment access in Australia for permanent resident citizens and is fully subsidised through the PBS Highly Specialised Drugs Program, with or without a co-payment depending on which state you're in. As a consequence, however, people who are Medicare, who don't have Medicare, therefore Medicare ineligible, including people who are temporary residents on various visa arrangements in Australia, living here legally, don't actually have access to this subsidised treatment and therefore are not entitled to the same level of care as permanent residents. This inequity between treatment access for temporary residents compared to permanent residents is ongoing. So it's important to understand what population size we're talking about in order to appropriately make recommendations and see this issue into the future and to hopefully resolve it. So the original data, the earliest that I'm aware of, was a survey by an S100 prescriber survey in 2007, which of course identified that temporary residents were required to pay for their treatment at full cost. At the time, 40% of those who were requiring antiretroviral treatment, that is clinically in need and would have met the guidelines for starting treatment, were actually not on treatment. And those who were on treatment had to source their treatment from a number of mechanisms that was overseas, online, using generic drugs, which posed a number of problems, including cost influencing the drug choices, which would possibly lead to inadequate treatment. Many of the optimal treatments at the time weren't in generic form, and ordering overseas online might have created delays and therefore interrupted treatment, and it also limited the clinician's way of managing this patient. At the time, the estimated number of people PLHIV who were Medicare ineligible was about 200 to 300. Following that report and up until about 2011, there was a lot of work done by Joe Watson in particular at NAPWHA, talking to the pharmaceutical companies, seven of them at the time, that had registered HIV treatments, to come up with a proposal to support the ATRAS study, which basically was to provide treatment to 180 PLHIV who were Medicare ineligible for up to 4 years. And it was the first study to systematically collect information in a prospective way on PLHIV Medicare ineligibles. And to remind you, if you've seen the report with ATRAS, I actually presented this a few years back at Brisbane National, is the population that we had, 180 were included, there were 26% were female, but you see in terms of their visa types, females were predominantly more on spousal or student visas, while the males were student visas and working visas, and the regions that the 180 came from. So the key findings, which is not surprising, was that putting them on treatment and effective treatment increased the proportion of people with an undetectable viral load from 47% at baseline to 94%, and significant increases in CD4 counts of more than 185 cells increase. And during that time, we also conducted two cross-sectional surveys to get another estimate of what the true known population of Medicare ineligibles were in Australia at the time. And around 2014, 2015, that number appeared to be about 450 to 464. We also did some mathematical modelling in terms of infections averted. So since ATRAS, treatment access available to Medicare PLHIV, ineligible PLHIV, beg your pardon. The companies agreed to continue to provide treatment to the remaining HRAS patients who after 4 years were still in need, were still Medicare ineligible, and in general they also agreed to provide compassionate supply to anyone in need. Also through the BBVSS, there was various access systems by states and territory health departments in terms of treatment access, and there was binding legislations to provide treatment to all, or some modes of negotiating with pharmaceutical companies. I have them listed there. Feel free to grab the report and you'll have more detail on that. And despite this, because there was such variability and there is such variability between the states in terms of treatment access, this generates a number of concerns and problems, and having a better, again, understanding of the situation, the number of people Medicare ineligible PLHIV allows us an opportunity to advocate for these people and to make a case into the future for treatment access. So this report the most recent report that Aaron just spoke to was an analysis of the most recent data from the main pharmaceutical companies. And for the first time, we also had some data reported from the states and territories. So we were doing our best to combine these data in order to make some recommendations for systemic improvements. These data would help support a change at a national level, as there are substantial limitations in the current system. Also, it helps inform the treatment cascade, which we hear about quite regularly. So the annual surveillance report treatment cascade also needs these numbers to have the best estimates. So the methods is very simple. We used data that was provided by Gilead Sciences and Vive Healthcare Australia, and they reported numbers on PLHIV who were Medicare ineligible, and they were providing compassionate supply to between 2011 and 2019, some of it by year and by breakdowns by state. We also last year got some a snapshot data from most of the states and territories on how many PLHIV who were Medicare ineligible and who were receiving antiretroviral treatment through either a compassionate program or through other modes of access. So firstly, I'll present the data from Gilead, and you'll see that in total they've provided compassionate supply to 684 PLHIV who are Medicare ineligible. In 2018, that was about 241 active, so that would be in the last 6 months they were given the compassionate supply. And then the most recent numbers that we received from Gilead was in March 2019, and at that time there was 360 individuals. Vive, over the same period, reported 878 individuals they've provided compassionate supply antiretroviral to. In July 2018, that was about 482 or 92. I need to bring my glasses next time. And then current numbers are around 550. So in total, most of these were patients who were from New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland in terms of numbers, specific numbers. In March 2019, there are 910 active patients, PLHIV, Medicare ineligibles, who have been receiving antiretroviral treatment through compassionate supply by Gilead and Vive. There may be some overlap in that number, but that is the most recent number that we're aware of in terms of the company data. So over time, if we're looking at the number of people who have been receiving compassionate supply, you see that there's an increase, particularly from about 2017 through to 2019. I'd like to highlight to you that 2017 data at the time also included some estimates from MSD, whereas 2018 and 2019 were just reports from Vive and Gilead. So we're seeing an increase in the number of Medicare ineligible PLHIV who are accessing treatment through compassionate supply through these pharmaceutical companies. But now we also have some data from the states and territories, which would help, we hoped, to triangulate and understand the bigger picture, or the complete picture, if you like. So we see that in the first column where we have the total estimated number of Medicare ineligibles, this is based on what states reported, and these are the numbers that are known to them as the number of people who are Medicare ineligible during a period of October to November 2018. It was 763, of which 638, or 84%, were receiving treatment through compassionate supply, through pharmaceutical compassionate supply. So the million-dollar question, a big aim of this report was one of the biggest aims, is to understand what is the most recent estimate of the number of PLHIV who are Medicare ineligible. I've just given you the data in terms of what ViiV and Gilead have provided, and because we also have data from the jurisdictions, I felt that we should look at this for the reporting period October to November 2018, because that's the same reporting period both by the companies as well as the jurisdictions. So 733 PLHIV Medicare ineligibles were given treatment via Gilead and ViiV. There may be some overlap in that number because we don't get any additional information, identifying information, so we're not quite sure if the individuals were getting from both ViiV and Gilead. We had some rough estimates of what that might be, and that was roughly about 10 to 15%. So if we're talking about individuals, we estimated that's about 623 to 660 individuals who are receiving supply through ViiV and Gilead. When we're looking at the estimates that the states provided, they estimated it was about 638 were getting compassionate supply. So those two estimates are, you know, within range, which is very satisfying. So we think in October to November 2018, the number of known Medicare ineligible PLHIV was around 763. But we did see that by March 2019, that number from ViiV and Gilead went up from 733 to 910. So what's causing this? Why is this increase? That was over a short period of time. So although we expected that, suspect it's about 763 in October last year, it seems like it might be a little bit more. And we also did not capture those undiagnosed or untreated. So there are some limitations to the data that's presented today and in this report, and which remains problematic. And we need better data to be collected to improve this, so we don't have an accurate number still. We only have data from two of the pharmaceutical companies, although we do know that there are other companies that are still providing compassionate supply. Reporting by the jurisdictions has helped tighten and get a better estimate, although this was variable in terms of how the data was provided to us. And as I mentioned, we still have an increase in the number from October last year to March this year, so about 20% increase in those who are accessing treatment through pharma supply. So question is, what's happening? Are these people moving to pharmaceutical compassionate supply, or are there more people presenting to services and testing and awareness, et cetera? So we have these recommendations that in terms of data collection is that we'd ask all pharmaceutical companies to regularly report these numbers, that all the states and territories also monitor their Medicare ineligible PLHIV and where they are accessing their treatment from. To collect additional standardized information, age, gender, country of origin, visa status, commencement and cessation on these programs to understand changes in visa status. And we also propose that these statistics are maintained and are kept nationally at a national level in a standardized form. Question still remains, are undiagnosed and untreated, and how we capture those numbers. So the current programs, ARV access programs, is that there is still jurisdictional variability, which means that there is inequity still in terms of treatment access. The philanthropic commitment of the pharmaceutical companies has been commendable and considerable, and the question that does remain though is, how sustainable is this? Some of the jurisdictions are thinking of moving to having all, you know, expressing desire to move their patients to compassionate supply. There's a significant burden in terms of clinicians and how they access treatment for their patients. And also the majority seem to be from New South Wales and Victoria, so there's a burden there for the states if they were to continue to supply as well. So in summary, the current system does not work for clinicians, for industry partners, or for the state and governments. A better solution would allow clinicians to select from an entire suite of antiretroviral treatments without the burden of negotiation. An unmonitored cohort of PLHIV who are experiencing significant barriers to appropriate care and treatment presents a considerable public health implication. We need improved regular and standardized data on this population. The commitment by the companies is critical in ensuring that we meet these targets by 2022 in terms of elimination of transmission. Most importantly, though, the lack of formal systems for which Medicare ineligible PLHIV can access treatment and care has a negative consequence on the most vulnerable PLHIV. Thank you.